Testing 1, 2. Okay. Star Wars. Happy Mother's Day to all you Star Wars fans. Yeah.
No one else. If you're not a Star Wars fan, you can't
Right. All right. All right. Well, thank you for being patient with us this morning. We've been experiencing some technical difficulties. I appreciate our tech team. They've been trying to work some of these things out, but it's just the way it is when you deal with computers and all kinds of stuff like video cameras. And so I just appreciate them, and I appreciate your patience. I do want to say before we get started, happy Mother's Day to all our mothers. Mothers, we just want you to know how special you are. We are so grateful for who you are and all that you do. I'm reminded of what Abraham Lincoln once said, "All that I am or all that I hope to be, I owe to my mother." And I think he's absolutely right. Mothers, you are so special and you truly make a difference in the world. Again, I want to welcome everyone who's tuning in. I want to welcome all of our Central family, but also those of you who may be from another state, or maybe you're just tuning in from our community. We want to welcome you as well. Right now, we're in a series entitled Jesus. And I really just want to begin this morning with a story. It's about a kindergarten teacher. I think my Aunt Jennifer will appreciate this. She's a teacher, but it's about a kindergarten teacher up north. It was a real cold day, and she noticed that one of her students was really struggling to get his snow boots on. And so she went over and she offered to help, and the little boy desperately needed her help. And so she sat down on the floor and she pushed as he pulled, and man, they really fought and wrestled with his boots. In fact, she started sweating, but finally the boots went on. And after she got the boots on, the little boy looked at his feet and he said, "I think we put my boots on the wrong feet." Well, that took everything she could do not to scream. But anyway, she pulled the boots off and switched feet, and she started again. She pushed and he pulled and they wrestled and finally got the boots on. And after they got the boots on, the little boy said, "Teacher, these aren't my boots." Well, she was about to lose her cool, but she didn't. She remained calm. She just pulled the boots off, only to hear the little boy say, "They're my brother's boots, but my mommy made me wear them." Well, now she was really about to lose it, but she started all over again, trying to put the boots on. She's pushing, he's pulling, they're wrestling with these boots, and finally they get the boots on. And the teacher looks at the little boy and she says, "Now," she says, "where are your mittens?" And he said, "Well, I stuck them in my boots." Anyway, here's the point. Life gets hard when we get things out of order. You know, last week we began this series by talking about how Jesus is all Lord and how He is Lord of all. And so Jesus should be first in our lives. But the question is He? Is He first? You see, as Christians, you know, it's very easy for us to say, well, Jesus can have a place in my life. But is He first? You know, I think about the Olympics, and of course, I'm sure that most of you have watched the Olympics, and you've watched the winner stand. The person who wins first gets the gold, the person who wins second gets the silver, and the person who takes third gets the bronze. And I think in a spiritual sense, hey, we are happy for Jesus to meddle. Right? We are happy for Jesus to be honored. Jesus, it's okay if you take the silver as long as I take the gold. Or we're tempted to think, hey, Jesus, listen, you just come up here and you share the gold with me. You share first place with me. And there's a word for that in the Bible. And it's called idolatry. And I don't know if you know this or not, but there is no sin mentioned more. There is no sin condemned more by God than idolatry. And some of you may be thinking, well, Slate, listen, I don't struggle with idolatry. I mean, I don't bow down and worship statues or gold images of any kind. But what you need to understand is idolatry actually goes much deeper than that. Idolatry is the root of all sin. You see, here's a great definition for sin. Sin is giving first allegiance to secondary things. Now, that may cause some of you to think right now. I mean, that may really cause some of you to take a different look at sin, because I think so oftentimes when we think of sin, we think, well, you know, as long as I'm not doing anything bad, as long as I'm not doing anything dark or nasty, then I'm not sinning. I mean, as long as I'm not doing anything dark or bad and I'm coming to church, then I don't have a sin problem. But actually, sin goes much deeper than that. Sin is any time in our life where we give primary allegiance to secondary affections. In other words, any time we put anything or anyone where God belongs, which is first place in our life, then we are dealing with sin. We're dealing with an idolatrous heart. And so it's not enough for us to stop where we did last week and say, you know what? Jesus is Lord. I mean, we all know that. The real challenge is making sure every single day that we put Him first. And again, that's not always easy. And I think it's because of something that in many ways we've lost in Christianity. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 51 this morning. Notice what it says. As the time drew near for Him, that's Jesus, to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for where? Said out loud, for Jerusalem. Now, as you continue to read, Luke is actually going to say this six more times. Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem. And I think we all know what that means. I mean, I think we all understand that Jesus was not heading to Jerusalem to be crowned. He was heading to Jerusalem to be crucified, to die, and He knows it. And He invites all of us to come with Him. In fact, let's keep reading. Verses 57 through 62, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay His head. He said to another person, come, follow me. The man agreed, but he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And some of you, as you read that, you go, wow, where did that Jesus come from? I mean, Jesus is not going to win any followers talking that way. Well, listen, Jesus never had a problem drawing crowds. People loved to see His miracles, and people loved the free food when He would feed the multitudes. But here's the deal. Jesus is not interested in attracting onlookers. What Jesus is trying to gather is followers. You see, Jesus is heading to Jerusalem to pay the ultimate price. And He says, I want you to follow Me. And again, I think this is where we're lacking many times. I think this is really many times what we have lost in Christianity. I mean, I think we've got the second part, the second command down in this phrase. I think we've got the me down, right? I mean, I think most churches preach about Jesus. I mean, it's not Buddha and it's not Muhammad. It's Jesus, and we're good at preaching the me. But the problem is, so oftentimes, is we skip over the word follow. Jesus says, I want you to follow Me. In fact, I think oftentimes what we're tempted to do is to offer the world Christianity without conversion. In other words, you don't have to follow Jesus, just accept Him. In other words, as long as you intellectually understand that Jesus is who He says He is, then you're good. But Jesus never says that. Jesus says, I want you to follow Me. In other words, if we're not careful, the Christian life can come to mean nothing more than living in the world as the world. In fact, we can be tempted to believe that Christianity is just setting aside an hour every Sunday to come to church. And yet Christianity is much more than that. Jesus says to be a Christian, you must follow Me. Listen, here's the deal. Jesus will take anyone where they are, but He will never tell anyone that they can stay where they are. I think that's why the Bible puts so much emphasis on baptism. Because one of the things about baptism is when we are baptized, we die to ourselves, right? I mean, you look at Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Notice what Paul writes. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in what? Said out loud at home. In baptism, we joined Him in His death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. You see, putting Jesus first begins with that. It begins with dying to ourselves. But here's the deal. Jesus says, if you're going to follow Me, you got to count the cost. Right? Look at Luke chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 25 through 33. Notice what Jesus says. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, He says, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be My disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow Me cannot be My disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegate while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. Jesus says, consider the cost. Some of you may be thinking, well, what's it going to cost me to follow Jesus? Well, notice what Jesus says. He says, we must put Him above any personal relationship. You know, when Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem, He did it against the will of His family. I mean, if you look at Mark chapter 3, remember Jesus' mother and His brothers showed up and they didn't want Him doing and saying what He was doing and saying. But here's the deal, Jesus did it anyway. And many people who have followed Jesus have had to make that same hard choice. I think about my mother-in-law, Darlene Fears. Darlene's mother died of cancer when she was younger. And so she was taken in by her aunt. Her aunt became like her mother. But at one point, Darlene decided to follow Jesus. And because of that decision, she lost her family. In fact, as her aunt was dying on her deathbed, she still would not acknowledge her. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else. Your father, your mother, your wife and children, brothers and sisters. And some of you are probably scratching your head thinking, listen, I know the Bible says that I'm supposed to love my family. And so what exactly is Jesus talking about here? Well, men, suppose with me for just a few minutes that you had a woman who came up to you and said, listen, I find you very attractive. And hey, I'm not asking you to divorce your wife. I'm not asking you to spend all your time with me. All I'm asking for is just a little bit of your affection. And so imagine, okay, men, imagine going to your wife now and saying, listen, honey, listen, I'm not asking you for a divorce. In fact, I'm not going to love this other lady more than you. But I'm going to give her some of my affection. How do you think your spouse would handle that? I'm pretty sure your wife would hate any relationship that would diminish the affection that's supposed to go only to her. Right? In the same way, it's the same way with Jesus. Our family doesn't belong first. And that can be really, really hard to hear, right? But in the end, here's the deal. It's relationally better when we put Jesus first, even over our family. I mean, I think about Julie and our marriage. We've been married in June 24 years. And I can tell you right now that there have been times in our marriage where I have been very difficult to deal with. But let me tell you this, and I can say this honestly, I have never lost one night of sleep worrying if Julie was going to leave me. I've never lost one moment of sleep wondering if Julie was going to walk in one day and say, you know what, I've just had it. I am giving up on you. I've never lost one moment of sleep wondering if Julie was ever going to cheat on me. And the reason why is because I know that Julie loves Jesus more than she loves me. Listen, when we die to our family, we are actually able to live for them better. But then let me also say this. Jesus points out in this text that he must be above any personal ambition. He says, if you want to be my disciple, not only must you hate your family, but you must even hate your own life. Let me ask you this question. What do you want to do with your life? Some of you may say, well, you know, I want to have a great career, or, you know, one of these days I want to start my own company, or, you know, I just really want to excel in sports. And here's what we're tempted to do many times. We're tempted to want to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, here's my plans. If you would just sign your name down at the bottom, because listen, I want to do all of this in your name. And Jesus says, that's not how it works. He says, here's a blank piece of paper. Sign your name down at the bottom. And he says, and I will fill in the rest. Question is, are we willing to do that? You see, there's a difference between pursuing Jesus and asking Jesus to endorse our pursuits. But then lastly, we must put Jesus above any personal possessions. And I'll be honest with you, we have a lot of wonderful possessions. We have been blessed with a nice house, and we've been blessed with several vehicles, and our house is full of furniture, and God has blessed us with clothes. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff, probably like many of you do, and I think if all of us were open and honest, we would say, I really like my stuff. But Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple without giving up everything that you own. Now listen to me this morning. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. But if we're not careful, our stuff can end up owning us. Listen, being a follower of Jesus means that everything that we have, which really belongs to Him anyway, right? But everything that we have is at His disposal. I witnessed a great example of this a couple of months back. Daryl Venable came up to me. The transmission on our van had gone out. And he came up to me and he said, Slate, he said, listen, he said, if your family needs a vehicle to drive for a while till you guys can find something else, he said, you can use mine. And of course, you know, there are going to be times when you have people who say nice things to you. You know, you're probably not going to take them up on it, but you know, they're just trying to be nice. But Daryl sent me a text the following day and he said, listen, he said, I'm being serious. He said, if you need a vehicle for your family to drive until you find something else, he said, you can have mine. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus, my house is yours. Jesus, my vehicles, they're yours. My clothes, if someone needs it, here, Jesus. It's yours. Jesus says, consider the cost. Jesus knew what it cost. He knew what it was going to cost Him. It cost Him everything. It cost Him His life. But He did it anyway. He went to Jerusalem and He sacrificed Himself for our sins. And now He says to you and me, follow me. Follow me. And here's the deal. The cost of following Jesus is great, but the cost of not following is greater. And I think some of you have probably already experienced that. through a mediocre life of just living outside of Christ, living however you want. And how many of us in those moments would say, when we've gotten our lives in a complete mess, how many of us would be honest and say, man, I really got things out of order? I should have put Jesus first. Listen, just one can be first. We can't follow Jesus. We can't accept Him, but we can't follow Him until we decide that He is first. This past Friday, we were at the grocery store and I saw a van. And in the van was this sign. And it really hit me. In fact, I got out of the vehicle and I took a picture of it. The sign reads, "I'm living for Jesus Christ." Are we living for Jesus? Is He first? Are we following Him? Are we actively pursuing Him? Or is there something else that we're pursuing? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Jesus. We thank You for the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. Father, please just empower us. Help us to set aside anything and everything that we might try and put in His place. Father, we just pray that You will continue to help us to live for You in every way. And Father, through that, we pray that not only will our families be blessed, but the whole world. As through us, we reflect Your Son Jesus and what He's done for us. Father, we just pray this prayer in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I just want to say Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers this morning. We're now going to take the Lord's Supper, and I'm going to ask our youth and family minister, Luke Reynolds, to come up and lead us in that.